The Christmas tree, angel tree, is bare back there. There's a couple new ones coming in. Next week there'll be some more tags if you would like to help. I want to just thank you so much for your help with what we do around here for Christmas for others. This last week, you finished up 45 Christmas shoe boxes, and they're sent to. You can get that's really cool. And we've never done that before. Never done that here. We did that first time. We set a goal of 20, and you guys did double plus. So thank you for that. The angel tree is another way that we help people in our community here that don't have any means to have a Christmas. And so we do that the next two or three weeks. The hub passed out a bunch of turkey dinners this last week. You guys just constantly are doing the Lord's, being his hands and feet. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's. Yes. And thanks, Jesus, too. Thanks, Diana. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we can gather here in this place today. And I just pray for me these next few minutes, because God, the words that I say sometimes are not they're not fun words to talk about, but they're words that are in your scripture, and they're words that you talk about. And God, we want to be honoring to you. And I just pray you'll have us have ears to hear. Pray for those that walked in here today, God, that are just suffering from whatever it is, whatever problem that they came in here with. God, would you touch them this morning through your Holy Spirit? Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're in a series that I called Living on a Prayer. And, of course, every week I've read the words to Bon Jovi's song, Living on a Prayer. I'm not going to do that today. But I want you to remember that Tommy and Gina had a problem. And their problem was that everything was just a mess in their life. And they were trying so hard to make ends meet. And that was their problem. And so they were trying to live on love, but they knew too that the only way you could live was living on a prayer. And that's what we want to talk about today. How do we do that? How do we live on a prayer? Today we're going to kind of pause this after today and kind of go into Christmas, and I'll pick it back up after the new year. We've been looking at the Lord's Prayer and a perfect way to pray. And there's no better way than that, because Jesus' disciples asked him, they said, Lord, how do we do this? And God, through his son Jesus, showed him a perfect example and a perfect way to pray. And so that's what we're going to do today. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first phrase of the Lord's Prayer, which was, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we talked about what kind of father God is, and we talked about how important it was to understand that our earthly fathers don't always show us who God is. But God, in him being who he is perfect, and he gives us the perfect example of what that means. And then last week, we skipped ahead a little bit, and we talked the third phrase. And then today, I'm going to go back to the second phrase of the Lord's Prayer, because it fits. Last week, it fit with Thanksgiving. It was a prayer of dependence. And it was, give us this day our daily bread. And we talked about that and how God wants us to depend on him on a daily basis, and how everything that we do and say is comes right out of his for his benefit. And so today we're going to look at the third phrase, the second phrase, which is found in Matthew 6:10. And so we should be caught up on the screen here. And it says this, Matthew 6:10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a hard prayer to pray. That's a really hard prayer to pray. Let your will be done here as it is in heaven. Some of the things I'm going to say today are not things that are easy to hear. And some of you are going to just go, nah, I don't know about that. That you know, who could do that? Who could possibly do that? And so today I'm calling this the prayer of surrender, the prayer of surrender. Because that's really what it's talking about. It's talking about that we have to basically say, I give up. I give up. And that's hard, hard thing to do, because we love the control and we love the ability to think that we somehow can take our lives in a direction that it should go. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't think most people have any idea. I know the disciples didn't. They figured it out, but they didn't when he first said that. They have no idea what it means to really do that. What is God's kingdom? What is God's kingdom? Well, let me tell you by a couple things by what it's not. God's kingdom is not a political entity. The disciples thought it was all about the Republican and the Democrat. They thought that. They thought that just wholeheartedly, because they thought his kingdom was going to be coming in this world. They thought that it was just going to be, you know, they were going to go in and they're going to get a bunch of spears and swords and tanks, and they're just going to overtake one side or the other. And so they thought it was going to be an earthly political kingdom. They had no idea. Jesus said, my kingdom, listen to me today, my kingdom is not of this world. It is not a political party. It's not a political entity. 1 Corinthians 4:40, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but it's a matter of power. The kingdom of God is not a matter of things you just say. You know, people say so much today, but really, when it comes right down to it, the kingdom of God is about power, God's power in us. That means the kingdom of God is not just something you talk about. It is something you do. And if you're not doing something, Daniel, I want to see you. I can't see you over here, and I'm going to move this. Sorry. I just like to see your smiling face, so I'm going to move this over here so I can see you guys. Sorry. So it's something you do. It's not just something you talk about. It's not something you try to look at and go, this is what, no. It's an action and has an action to it. That's the kingdom of God. And then Romans 14:7 says this, the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink. In other words, it's not material. It's not something you can put your hands on. It's living with God and his peace. It goes on and says this, it's living right with God and a life of peace and joy of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. It's a life of peace. Who has peace today? A lot of us, we are striving to find peace. We're struggling to get peace in our life. We want peace in our life. We just want a little peace in our life. So the kingdom of God is a kingdom of peace. It brings peace. What? Through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God. So then let's answer this question. Where is the kingdom of God? And this is a question that all Christians think they know the answer to. And let's make sure you do that today. The kingdom of God is wherever Jesus is king. That's it. If Jesus is the boss, then that's where the kingdom of God reigns. Wherever he's in charge. You see, that's different. That's different than today, though, because if he's king of your heart, then the kingdom of God is within you, because the Bible says that you ask him to come into your heart and take control of you. And so if he's the king of you, then it should be that the kingdom is in you. You don't go somewhere to visit it. You don't come to a building to see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in you. In fact, the phrase, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that second phrase explains the very first phrase that we talked about. It's redundant to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's the same thing. It's the same exact thing. So it's a little bit redundant. Whatever God's will is done in your home, in your school, in your factory, in your office, that's where the kingdom of God is, and that's where it should be being done. So when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, when we pray that, oftentimes there's a disconnect. And why is that? It's because God's will isn't getting done in the kingdom, which is who? It's us. See, oftentimes God's will is not getting done in the kingdom of God. And so we can pray that prayer, but when we pray that prayer, are we really wanting God's will done in the kingdom? This is deep. Nobody likes to hear this. Because then it means you're not in control of you. You're not making the decisions. You're not the boss. A lot of times when you hear something, for instance, you hear something bad that's happening in the world, and I hear people say this, oh, well, it must have been God's will. Heck no. It was never God's will for something horrible to happen. Never. Because in heaven, God's will is done perfectly. And it never has that kind of association with it. God's will is not evil. God's will is not sinfulness. God's will is not people making stupid choices. All it is people making stupid choices. It's not God's will. When some alcoholic dies of a liver, it is because he drunk himself to death. It is not God's will that happened. It's not God's will for somebody to get cancer. This phrase, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, is to pray a prayer of surrender. I give up. I give up. And friends, that's tough. That's really, really tough. But I believe God, through his son Jesus, teaches us that surrender is the only solution to peace in your life. And what does it mean to pray, I surrender? And by the end of our talk here today, by the end of our lesson, I pray that some of you can pray that prayer, I surrender, and really mean it. Some of you have prayed that prayer. Some of you have tried that prayer, but you're still not really there. You're not really surrendered. You really haven't given up. You may said you did. You may act like you did. You may look like you did, but you know where the kingdom is, and you know that most days Jesus isn't in charge. Most days you are. Most days I am. What does it mean to pray a prayer of surrender? What's it mean? Let's talk. Here's the four basic things it means. It should come up right as we talk about this. Surrender is the only solution to get peace. Surrender is the only solution to live in this planet and to live to know that you're going to be able to face no matter what hellacious thing comes at you, no matter how horrible it is, you're going to be able to get through it. Here's the first lesson. Surrender means you got to let go of being in charge. Thanks, Jeff. I don't want to do that. Every day, the Bible calls us to get up in the morning. And you have to decide who's going to control the kingdom of God in you. Psalms 46:10 puts it this way. Let go and know that I am God. I rule the nations. I rule the earth. God says, I'm in control. See, there's another Elsa thing. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. Because why? Because if you try to do it, you mess it up. The other version of that verse goes, be still and know that I'm God. Be still. Another God. And what that means is when you're still, you're not listening to your thoughts. But I think and I believe, and my mom taught me this, and my dad taught me this, and actions have taught me this, and people have burnt me too many times. Be still and know who God is. Know what God says to the people. And who are the people? It's us, the kingdom of God. The truth is, we hate this word surrender. We hate it. When we think surrender, we think of waving a white flag and like, you big sissy, what the heck? You're giving up. No, it's not. It's not that way at all. It's not that way at all. It's that It's that idea that we understand that when we surrender, we're in His arms. When we surrender, we're in His perfect place. When we surrender, we are there where He has thought of every detail that could possibly happen to us. Whew, man, that takes a load off. The number one reason that most of us in this room are stressed, and the most of you at home are stressed, is because you are at conflict with God. Even though you say you're a Christ follower, you're at conflict with God every day. I know better. And you don't. The Bible says in Romans 8:6, if a person's thinking is controlled by a sinful self, there is death. And some of you are stinking. Some of you are stinking it so bad because you're not controlled by Jesus at all. And you think you are. And you are blind. You are nose blind to the death that is right under your nose. And you're thinking, I'm good, when you're not. When you're not. The Bible says in Romans 8:6, it's if you're controlled by the sinful self, there's death. Think about that. Think about that. So step one is letting go to a perfect God, to a perfect God, and saying, I don't understand what you're going to do with me. I don't know how you're going to get me out of this, but I surrender. I give up. Because I'm going to be better with you than I will with me trying to figure this out. The second lesson we can learn about having this is that finding contentment wherever you are and whatever situation you find yourself in, you've got to find some kind of normal in the middle of the storm. You've got to find some kind of like this. I can say that with everything that's in me, that no matter whether my life is going to hell in a handbag or not, that I can find contentment in the middle of that storm. So no matter what happens in my life, no matter what the devil throws at me, me and God, we're going to get through this. See, God intended for you and I to change everything we can try to change. He wants you to try to do some things, to move towards Him. But then when you've done all you can do, God steps in and He goes, let me show you what I can do. Let me show you what possibly can happen about the stuff that He can change in your life that you thought was just there and it's never going away. God says, watch what I can do. So what are the alternatives? What are the alternatives to saying I surrender? Well, you know what we do? We worry about it. We worry about it? No. We can resent it and get bitter about it. Does that work? No. And we can feel guilty about it and ashamed of it. Does that work? No. We can have self-pity about it. Does that work? It doesn't work either. Poor me. Look what everybody else is getting and not me. We can be fearful and we can worry about it. That doesn't work. Never has, never does. Try the same thing over and over again. No. Paul understood this in Philippians 4:11-13 says this. I've learned to be satisfied. That word is content with the things that I have and with everything that happens. I know how to live when I'm poor. I know how to live when I have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content at any time in everything that happens. And then he says that very famous verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, Paul knew that the secret was Christ in Paul. Not Paul in Christ, Christ in Paul. And so I want to ask you this question that we're going to end with today here in just a few minutes. When it comes to your life, do you want what Jesus wants Or do you want what you want Jesus? Now, let me get that right. Do you want what Jesus wants? Or do you want Jesus to want what you want? That's a real big question. See, that's not my will, but thine. And the way we're living our life is we're wanting Jesus. We're wanting Jesus to do that thing. You know, want what I want. You see, I need that new car. Yes, I need it. I could do so much other stuff with that, but I need that new car. I need this. I need that. Really? Okay. Who's in control? I find myself content. See, Paul knew that contentment comes only when Christ is in the kingdom and when Christ is in charge of the things that we do on a daily basis. You see, when Paul wrote this very piece, he was in prison, chained to a guard in a horrible place. And he learned contentment there because he knew that he had to go through it. And when he did it, he I can do this. So it can be learned. Contentment can be learned. That's what I want to tell you. Contentment doesn't, you go, I'll never find it. Yes, you can. You can find it. You can learn contentment. Paul showed us that it's a choice. You can choose to gripe and bellyache about the circumstances of your life and what you don't got and what has been happening to you and what was dealt you and the horrible life that you got. Or you can say, I can find contentment here. It's a choice. And it's only possible through Jesus and his strength, not through yours. Not through yours, because you ain't got enough. You're pitiful. I'm pitiful. Pitifully weak. But we try to put on that, I got this. And in essence, God is wanting to say, hey, listen, surrender means you are weak, but he is strong. That little silly song that we sang, it's not silly, but Jesus, I love you. Hey, he is weak, but I am. I'm strong, but he's weak. I'll get it. I'm weak, but he's strong. My brain today. Isn't that something? That's an epitome of what our life is about. And we start it when we're kids, and then when we get older, we're like, oh, yeah, I can do this on my own. I got this. One of the problems we have with contentment is that we're always looking for explanation in our lives of why things happen. Why is this happening to me now? I can tell you how many funerals I've been at that I've heard that question over and 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 over. Why doesn't he? There's no answer to that. There's no answer to that this side of heaven. Possibly he may be testing you a little bit. What's that about? Well, possibly he's wanting to see if you're understanding where he's taking you. See, there's no explanation that's ever going to take away pain of why Grandpa died. There's no explanation of why your favorite pet. There's just none. It ain't fair. It ain't right. But there's no explanation that's ever going to make it go away. All you're doing is hurting yourself when you think like that. And your discontentment is robbing you of your inner peace. Because when you start trying to find that question, you're being in charge. When you try to answer those questions, you will never, ever, ever answer that question. The only question you can ask is, what, God, what do you want me to do now? This horrible thing happened. It hurts like in fire. But what do you want me to do now? What can I do now for you, for the kingdom? Thirdly, surrender means this: laying down your plans every day. Laying down my plans But I like my plans, Jeff. I like my dreams. See, none of us like to hear this. This is not good news, is it, this morning? Like, why can't you do something else? A little light. It's Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving, I'm full. And no, because this is where God wants to take us this morning. Laying down your plans every day. Every day. I don't know if you ever noticed, but our plans get changed a lot. You ever had a plan for something to do something, and all of a sudden it just is completely different? You ever plan to go here and to do this, and this is the way I want my life to work, and you look and go, oh my gosh, how did I get here? I find that my problems frequently sabotage my plans. How convenient is that? Because it's the law of the IAS. You know what the IAS is? It's always something. It's the law of the IAS. Oh, it's always something. Something that comes that we didn't think about. Something shows up. Something pops up. Something happens. It is always something. You have plans, and you have problems. And once your problems, number two comes up, then number three lines up, and then number four, and then there's something else, and then there's another one, and then you go, when's it ever going to happen? And you know what that's called? Life. It's called life. The rest of your life, you're going to be doing that. You're either in a problem, or you're coming out of a problem. You're either heading into one, full blast, or you're heading out of one, slowly. Well, Jeff, why do we have so many problems? Three simple reasons. And you can't forget that this morning, because oftentimes we forget the answer to that. And it's real simple. You know them, but you forget them. The first one is we've made bad choices. We stink at making good choices. We marry somebody thinking we can change that sucker, and there is no way in the world we can change it. We knew they were like that, and we married them anyway. We knew. But yeah, love will change them. Only Jesus can. We make horrible choices. Number two, you got an enemy if you're a Christian. His name is Satan, and he wants you to fail. He wants you to flail. He wants you to be so messed up and confused that you don't know which end is up. And some of you today, you're very confused, and you've forgotten that the devil is out there trying to destroy you. And lastly, it's a real simple thing. We live in a broken world, and we're broken people. And broken people who live in a broken world, you're going to have horrible things happen all the time. And at your best attempt, it still happens. You do everything in your power. I've crossed every T. I've put every I has been dotted, and it still goes wrong. And I laid it out before the Lord, and at least I asked him, Jesus, I want you to want what I want. Maybe. One day, Jesus was walking down the street with his disciples, and he saw a man who had been blind, the Bible says, since birth. Disciples asked this question. They said, Lord, whose sin has caused this man to be blind? The man's sin, or maybe his parents' sin? Why did this bad thing happen to this guy? And Jesus replied, neither sinned. This happened so that the work of God can be displayed in his life. I want you to grasp that for a second. This guy went through a whole bunch of pain for a long time, couldn't see. And maybe the whole reason that happened is because what Jesus said, so is the power of God could be displayed in this man's life. Because Jesus showed up that day and did a work in his life. So the work of God gets displayed when we go through a storm. That's new. The work of God gets displayed in a storm? How's that possible? You say, just like the blind guy. God says, I'm going to give you a certain amount of opportunities, and I'm going to give you a certain amount of freedom. It's yours to choose. 1 John 3:16, the other John says this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Is that happening in your life? Are you laying down your life for anybody else? What happens when I say, okay, God, I'm going to live, I just want to live for you. I want to live for you. God does much, much more than we ever thought possible. See, that blind man, he went through that horrible time, but all of a sudden one day, Jesus showed up and his sight was there. And who got the credit? Not that guy. Jesus, the kingdom. The kingdom got the credit. How you go through a storm displays the power of Jesus Christ. If you go kicking and cussing and screaming and yelling and Jesus, where is he? Right? And just besmirching him and everybody else, you're not displaying the power of Christ. But if you go through it going, Father, not my will, but yours. Whew, that's a tough prayer to pray when you're blind. That's a tough prayer to pray when you got cancer. That's an incredible prayer to pray when some big problem is going on in your life. So how do I make the kingdom of God my primary concern? How do I make God's kingdom in my heart? How do I make it my primary concern? Very simple. It's this, and I tell you this all the time. Start caring about the things that God cares about. Start caring what God cares about and not what you care about. See, what you care about and what God cares about often are two different things. Because problems tend to make us get so selfish. Problems get to make us, pain makes us just think about nothing but me. I'm divorced. I'm a divorcee. I'm a cancer. I'm this. I'm that. And that. No, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. You're much, much more than anything you've been trying to say who you are. I care about the things that God cares about. That's how you figure out the kingdom of God. That's how you understand that you make it your main thing, the main thing. Lastly, the last lesson I want you to learn today. Give God tomorrow today. Give God tomorrow today. Surrendering means leaving the tomorrows to God. I'm not going to try to live in tomorrow, because when you live in tomorrow, all you do is get scared. All you do is what if. All you do is what's next. Live in today. Proverbs 3, you know this verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. See, it's so easy to lean on me, because when I lean on me, I know what's happening. I know that it's just me, and I'm okay most times with that, until I'm not. Until I'm not. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. Why? Because you're screwed up. You're broken. You make horrible choices. Then it goes on and it says, He'll make straight your paths if you rely on His trust, Him. He'll make your path straight and not curvy. He'll make your path so it's you can do it. Let me be really blunt with you, and then I'm just about done. Would you like to have less stress in your life and more peace in this season of your life? Of course, every one of you would say yes. Then you got a choice to make, just like Paul. You have a decision to make today, and some of you will choose it, and some of you will not. The decision is, am I going to do what I think is best, or am I going to do what God tells me to do? What I know to do, what I know he wants me to do. Because, you see, what he wants us to do, I don't want to do. I don't want to do that. If I'm single, I want to have sex with everybody I can have sex with. It's okay. What? That's old-fashioned. Why? See, I want to make the rules. So here's the question to end on today. What area of your life is not surrendered to God? What area of your life is not surrendered to God? And everyone in this room has one. You got one. Some of you haven't surrendered your sex life. Some of you are married and you're doing things you shouldn't be doing. Some of you have never surrendered your finances to God. Well, Jeff, that's just something the church says. Give that 10% or whatever you're talking to. No, I know better. See, I know better. Get back, Jeff. That's dumb. Giving, why would I do that? I know better. I know better. Not being be why you're under stress. Some of you have never surrendered your relationship to God. You know, I don't want to give God everything. Why would I want to do that? He doesn't need everything. I give him a little bit, and he'll be okay with it because, you know, in the end, he's a gracious God, and he's a good God, and he'll let me in. I'll be there. Some of you got secret sins in your life. You think they're secret. You've never surrendered to God. You have a habit that hasn't been surrendered. You have a hurt. You have a hang-up. You have unforgiveness. You have bitterness in your heart. You hate somebody. That is not surrendered living. I will never forgive that person. That's not surrendered living. Some of you have never surrendered your life to Jesus for the first time. You've never asked him to come in and be the kingdom in you. You've never gone and been baptized. Maybe today is a day that God would speak to you and say, I need to get off center here, and I need to go where God wants me to go. Not my will, but yours. Not my will, but yours. So what area of your life is not surrendered to him this morning? Surrender is holding up that white flag and keeping it up and saying, God, I'm not at war with you anymore. God, I give up. God, I know that you know better. Because here's the thing. When you're weak, when you're the weakest you could possibly be, God is at his strength. God is at his utmost highest for you. He is right there. He is large, in charge, none higher, none bigger, none better than God. But yours, your assignment, if you're willing to take it, is to be weak and to say, I surrender. There's an old hymn we used to sing back when I was a kid, I surrender all. I never hardly sang that song one time when I was a kid. I mouthed the words because I knew I wasn't surrendering all. I surrender some. I surrender some. That's about what I felt like, you know, like the big jerk, you're such a fake. And if you're singing those words or you're thinking those words and you're thinking about surrendering all, it means all. All means all. All. That's where peace comes in. It's surrender. Jeff, this wasn't good. Why did we talk about this? Because we have to. Have the band come here. Come on up. I don't want to pull the wool over anybody's eyes this morning. I'm going to be honest with you. When Jesus said in Luke 14, he said, you must give up everything you have to follow, be a follower of Christ. When you come to Jesus, he calls for everything. Everything. All. He wants to be number one in your life. That is no small task. But with surrender, it's possible. Let's pray. Father, I pray through your Holy Spirit that you'll speak to some hearts today, God. And I know that I'm a jerk sometimes, and I know that things I say aren't always right, and they don't come out right. But I know, God, the intent of my heart today was to speak to someone in this place, to speak to someone at home today who thinks that they want what you want, but really what they want is they want you to want what they want. God, they're deceiving themselves. I've done it before. And so I just pray for your move today, for your Holy Spirit, in the kindest, gentlest possible way, to move amongst us now, to prod us, to raise the white flag, to convince us, God, to show us that being weak is the strongest way we can be. I surrender all. As the band plays, I encourage you to either go to the back if you want to pray with someone, come to the altar. You can go to our war room over here and pray with someone. You can do that after the service. If you want to surrender, if you really are here today and you sense God is calling you to raise the white flag, let's see what God does as the band sings and the Holy Spirit moves amongst us this morning.
Great, inside God, with me how great.
More time.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God.
Praise the Lord. I pray that he is doing some work in us this day. He's doing some work in me. Do you want what Jesus wants, or do you want Jesus to want you want? That's the, I think I got it out right. So I think it's a great question, and it's a great question to kind of keep us on track today. I surrender when I'm weak, I'm at my strongest. One quick thing before we go to our announcements today. This didn't make the news. This Saturday at 6 o'clock to 8:30 or so, there's a Christmas movie being showed here, and I think they're having chili and some other things. Can they bring chili, Yancey? No, they cannot bring chili. Yancey's in control of the chili. He's a chili Nazi. So you cannot bring chili. Marty's bringing, sorry. So there's a Christmas movie, 6 to 8:30 this week. If you'd like to be a part of that, see Yancey and Judy. On the. You like pie? Bring him some pie. He likes pie. He's always got something going on. All right. So that didn't make the thing. Everything else is on here. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Have a great week. Watch the news.
Good morning, Impact Christian Church. My name is Abby Lucas, and I just have a few announcements about what is going on here at ICC. If you sold pizzas, please make sure you get Brenda your pizza money after service today. Tonight there is no youth band or youth group, so enjoy the night off tonight. Today we are officially starting the angel tree, and how the angel tree process works is you will take a tag off the tree, and then you will fill out the clipboard and then bring it back to church by the 19th. To kick off our holiday season here at ICC, next Sunday we are going to have our ugly Christmas sweater contest. There will be three winners that will be chosen, and then Adam and Kelsey are going to be having a photo op session. December 12th and December 19th, before and after service, we're going to be having our Christmas Bazaar, and that is for people that are wanting to go on a missions trips to sell items. If you are wanting to sell items, please go see Ashley Lineback or Carolyn Gregory for more information. The Hub is going to be open this Tuesday from 5 to 6. Please be sure to pick up a December newsletter on the podium in the back. We just want to give a special shout out to all those that were involved for the Operation Christmas Child. ICC was able to donate 45 boxes, which was double our goal. So we just wanted to say a quick thank you to everyone who was involved. Well, ICC, that is all the news I have for you. I hope you have a blessed and awesome week, and we will see you next week.